In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in every child.
In the service today, the beginning of the baptism always starts with four exorcisms. And we hear the Christian understanding and theology of the devil, of what we believe about the devil and fallen angels and demons. And most of the exorcism focuses on God's power and God's might and how the demons really have no might. And of course, it's an exorcism, so that makes sense. But some might feel this is a bit archaic, you know, in our modern culture. As we go about our day-to-day business, one of the things that is noticeably missing for most people is any thought of a spiritual realm. Our world is very secular, and by secular, we could also say materialistic and scientific. And if you watch any of the Halloween specials, they'll tell you about the old superstitions that disappeared at the time of the scientific revolution and the Enlightenment. And how, and the question is, or the fine line becomes within theology and in other places, is exactly what was superstition and what was a sacramental or spiritual worldview. Because nowadays we have all sorts of, my wife and I were watching this a couple nights ago. There was a lady, this was, the show was done a few years ago, but she was Wiccan, and she described her worldview. And her worldview was that there was spiritual material everywhere, and that you could have a connection with this. Now, she didn't call this God, but what she was speaking about was essentially that whether you're out in nature or in a house, no matter where you were, that you could encounter the divine. And for the most part, we could agree with her, this Wiccan woman. But where would she find that sort of teaching in our society? Where would she find that teaching among Christians, that God is everywhere present and fills all things? Where we not only think that, but we actually approach our lives that way. That when we're outside, out there, or dealing with other people, that in our deep lives, we realize that when we're talking or meeting another person, we may be encountering Christ. Or we may be entertaining angels. Or that when we're out and about, we may encounter a real prophet who's been sent to us to speak the word of God to us. Where is the sense within our Christianity that everything and everything that we do and partake of really matters? And that everything has divine potential. But not only divine potential, there's also demons. There's also Satan. Where do we find within Christianity? Of course, these are all teachings, but they have to be internalized. We are primarily spiritual beings sent out into a spiritual world. And to much extent, the Western world has lost a spiritual or a sacramental mindset. And so if you want to wonder why people have fled to the New Age movement, or have fled to Wicca or various witchy movements or neo-paganism, they're just simply trying to recover something that Christians don't express here, that is totally washed from our culture and has become really dry and secularized. And this is mostly easily watched within these documentaries where you see that, and even the new theological movements within the Christian West where they try to demythologize the Bible, where they try to eliminate any reference to anything supernatural or any reference to anything that has to do with spiritual power. And then secondarily, make everything psychological. Because if anything, we are preeminently psychological. So we have no problems believing in all the psychological maladies that are also very mysterious. But if you say demon, it's not, this is not something that's acceptable, then maybe we live in an archaic. But the truth is, as the church teaches, and when we did our exorcism today, we do believe that in the devil. We do believe that in the demonic realm. And we believe that ultimately the best way to avoid and to conquer the demonic realm is through Christ, which is what we see in today's gospel. Now, in today's gospel, just to again talk a little bit about science, you know, all human beings are animals, right? Mammals. And they've been categorized as such, as mammals and animals. Now, it's interesting, in our society, that aspect would be emphasized a little bit, the science of what it means to be a human being, to be flesh and blood and soul or whatever. Besides that, the spiritual realm is all but neglected, and there's an emphasis on psychology. We are not, in the Christian sense, merely animals. If we are to be merely animals, listen, if you teach your kids, and if you believe what our society teaches, that we are merely animals, then let's stop complaining about murder. Let's stop complaining about all the various crimes, sexual crimes, and other things. Let's not complain about cannibalism or any of that stuff, because in the animal kingdom, that's the reality. It's tooth and fang. The story the other day of the father who ate his lion cub son. You know, that's the animal world. If we're merely animals, then everything goes. Because everything is about blindly following instinct, about getting pushed to and fro from our feelings and from these internal twitchings that send us every which direction. That's what it is to be an animal. I've mentioned my dog Tater Tot a few times. When food is around, Tater Tot's around. He can't control himself. He can't help it. He doesn't have to think about it. But we are human beings, and we're called to be something higher than mere animals. And so in today's gospel, we see an example of someone who is driven to the state of being an animal, who lives in a place, and naked in a place, a dangerous person, chained away in the tombs, because ultimately, through his passions, which we could also say are sinful instincts, became demonized by a legion of demons. Up to 6,000 was the number for legion. And these legions of demons that enter him turn him into an absolute animal. Turn him into an absolute... And at the end of the gospel, we hear after he encounters Jesus, it says he's clothed and he's in his right mind. What we're to understand by that is that when the demons leave, he becomes human again. That Jesus has encountered this man who is like a beast and has, in this encounter, has transformed him into a human being. He has made him what he always was from the beginning. He has made him what he was intended to be. So when we think about fasting and prayer and all the practices of our Christian faith, coming to church, whatever it is, communing with God, all of these things that we are doing are to restore our humanity, are to make it somehow that we become clothed with the grace of God and in our right mind. And in our right mind means sober. Sober, it means we're not addicted and we're not taken a hold of by anything other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see within the lives of if you know people, the addict is often out of their mind. The addict is often an animal. We don't want to be animals. We don't want to be merely animals. And so the answer today, again, in the exorcism, in the baptism, just there's this Georgian guy that we used to go to church with at St. John's, and his baby was baptized, and we were downstairs. He came downstairs after, and he said, "Finally, my son is human." And we laughed, because and for Americans, this sounds a little ridiculous, right? But there was teaching, you know, that it is in the baptism, it is in the receiving of Christ, it is in having the demons expelled and not being led away by our passions and not being driven around like animals, that we become fully human. And that is ultimately our goal as we pursue Christ, whether it when it begins in the font and it ends in our death. May we be fully clothed in God's righteousness, and may we come to the place where Christ liberates us from the various legions of things that beset us, so that we can be in our right mind, sober, and be humans. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.